Sorry I was late. I came in the side there. We had a wonderful clergy forum. We had four members of our parish who were veterans speak about their time as being veterans and how it shaped their lives. And it was quite an experience. I want to thank all those who spoke. And we got started a little late, so we finished up. The widow's mite. The widow's mite. That's spelled M-I-T-E. That's a phrase that's usually used to describe this gospel reading that we've just heard, the story of the widow's mite. I'd like to talk a little bit about this gospel reading. Actually, share with you two observations from this gospel reading. One that is the usual way we interpret it, and another which is another way of seeing it as well. Not that they contradict each other, but just perhaps a different flavor or version. Jesus is at the temple. That's where this story is taking place. And I want to put this a little bit in context as to what was going on. The temple was one of the holiest places for the Jewish people at that time. The temple was a place where you came to offer sacrifice. Jewish people would gather in the synagogues in their towns and villages for learning. They'd gather there on the Sabbath. They'd gather for prayer. They'd gather to be taught by the rabbis. But the temple was a place where sacrifice was offered. At the time of Jesus, it was a place where you would bring an animal of some kind, and you would have it sacrificed. You'd bring this creature to the temple. The priests, that was their job. Their job was to take this creature and sacrifice it. And the belief was that by sacrificing this animal, the sins of those who brought this animal to the temple were forgiven. That was the basic sort of theology there. By the time Jesus is in his ministry, he is not impressed with what the temple has become. And he names it. Now, when you came to the temple, if you were able, you brought your lamb, you brought your animal, and it was sacrificed. But if you had needed to travel a great distance to get to the temple, not to worry, you could buy one at the temple. Or if you were poor and didn't have enough resources to bring a creature to the temple, you could buy a creature there. You could buy a little bird of some kind, and it would be sacrificed. Of course, there are people at the temple who are selling these animals, then obviously making some money doing it. Also, when you came to the temple, you weren't able to use Roman money, money that was used in day-to-day life in the Roman Empire. You had to change that money into temple money. And so you would bring your money to the temple, and there were those who were at the gates there, and you could change the money. Those were the money changers. They would change your Roman money into temple money because temple money was more appropriate for the temple. And you know the story of Jesus coming to the temple and just not impressed would be a mild way of putting it. There's a story of Jesus overturning the money changers' tables and saying, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus also is calling out something that he sees when he's there with his disciples. He points out the scribes in this story today. He talks about the scribes who wear long robes and like places of honor. And they're described as wearing the kinds of robes that they would have worn while they were in prayer. But it seems they're wearing it also in that part of the temple, which is more the public area. They're kind of parading around their piety. And they're probably very well-to-do in the community and want to be seen that way. Do you know any people like that? When I was growing up as a child in the parish where I grew up in, there was a person in the parish like this. He was well known in the community. And on Sunday, we'd go to church, and the priest would say an opening prayer. We'd sit down for the readings, and in he walked. And he would always come late. He always walked up the right side aisle, and he always sat in the first pew. And he had this way of kind of coming down the aisle. And when he went to sit down, he would kind of turn and look at everybody, you know, and then to kind of take his seat. You know, that kind of. And everybody would be nudging each other. There he is. It aggravated people. But he had this sense of self-importance. Do you know people like that? Maybe not just in church life, but in our lives. Well, Jesus is calling out these scribes. And they're probably very generous to the temple. You know, I'm sure what they give to the temple has a lot to do with the finances of the temple. But then Jesus sees this woman come in, and the way she appeared must have communicated who she was. And Jesus sees that, you know, she's a widow and she's poor, and she comes in, and at the entrance of the temple there's a place you could place an offering. And she gives what's the equivalent of a penny or two into the offering. And Jesus calls that out too. He recognizes that. And he says that that offering is worth more than what these scribes are giving. Because what Jesus is saying is that what this widow has offered may not make a huge difference in the finances of the temple. But what this woman is offering makes a huge difference in the meaning of the temple. That kind of sacrificial giving. That kind of giving that isn't being given to make a big impact on the finances of the temple, but it's being offered from her heart in such a way that when she goes home, what she has given is going to affect the rest of her life. You know, her life is changing because of what she's giving. And that's the kind of giving that Jesus is naming there and highlighting. The scribes, as the gospel says, the scribes are giving from their abundance. You know, the scribes are kind of giving that which they have, they don't need. It's not perhaps impacting their life that much. They're giving from their abundance. They're giving what we sometimes say is left over. And Jesus is saying they're very generous. But this woman's gift, this sacrificial giving, this kind of generosity that not only tries to help those to whom you are giving, but also transforms your own life. That kind of sacrificial giving. And of course, this reading is often offered as a reflection on our own call to be a giving people. You know, and I know myself, the years I've been here at St. Paul's, I am so touched by the generosity of you here at St. Paul's. So many of you who live that sacrificial giving. Over the years, people who shared stories with me of how they're giving in such a way that their life has changed. People who've given over the years who said to me, I'm delaying my retirement so that I can really have an impact on giving for a year or two. We're doing things at home differently than we would have, but I want to give. I want to offer things. That kind of sacrificial giving. And so many of you, I'm oftentimes humbled by the giving of you here at St. Paul's. And some of us, some may be very deep into that kind of giving, and some may be just in the beginning. And some may just need to begin to live into that. But the widow's mite is used as an example of that. But let me look at this gospel reading in another way. And it's offered by some scripture scholars I've been reading up on a little bit. And it's a message that I have to be honest with you, I've always missed in this gospel reading. And it's this. Notice that there's the story of the scribes. But when the scribes are described, it's a neat phrase, when the scribes are described, they're highlighted as being, you know, well-to-do, calling attention to themselves. But you see that phrase in there? They devour widows' houses. Did you see that phrase in there? That phrase has never jumped out at me. They devour widows' houses. And then in the next scene, this widow comes in. Is this gospel reading inviting us to reflect upon what you might want to call more a call to justice, a call to social justice, a call to perhaps these scribes' lifestyle is at the cost of this widow? That within this community are the scribes, well, it's not described how, taking advantage of the widow and sort of empowering themselves and gaining more. And perhaps this gospel reading is inviting us to reflect on what kind of impact can our lives have on others? What kind of impact does our way of living have on those in our midst, perhaps in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our country, our nation? How do we connect? You know, I think our younger generation has a much stronger sense of how interconnected this entire world is, and how something we do has such an impact on others. And so perhaps this gospel reading is inviting us to reflect upon issues of justice and how, whether we're a scribe or a widow or somewhere in between. How do we reflect upon and live our lives? How do we look out among our communities where we live and work and see the injustices and try to figure out how do we go about changing that and making a difference, and how the decisions that I make can impact that? It's another thought in this gospel reading today that I kind of offer to you for your consideration today. But both stories, both ways of seeing this story, are important. One, inviting us to be the people we're called to be. I think one of the meanings in life is to be a person of generosity, to be a person who gives. I think it defines who we are. And on the other hand, the other view of this gospel reading, realizing the impact we have on each other and issues of justice in our world and in our midst. And so when we make financial decisions, when we make political decisions, when we make cultural decisions, how do we make those decisions in a way that we're aware of the impact we have on one another? Just end with just this thought. There are some people who feel called to deal and help those in our midst who are like the widow, who perhaps society has had an impact on and want to help that individual. There are others who look to perhaps help in a way that changes the system. And we have saints in our midst who've done both. And what is our call? I think of someone like, in the Christian tradition, Mother Teresa, whose whole ministry was about helping the dying. She would live in the streets and help the dying, and just provide them an honorable death. And someone once asked Mother Teresa, "But don't you want to do something to change the society that causes this?" And she once said, "Well, that's for someone else to do. I feel called to help this person right in front of me in the street." Then you look at someone like Martin Luther King, who saw the injustices of a society, of a system, and called us to somehow look at changing that. Reaching out and changing that. I think of someone also in another faith tradition, someone like Gandhi, who was called to reshape a society and a culture. We all may be called to different ways of living that out, of responding to that. But together, as the body of Christ, together as the community of St. Paul's, we share our gifts, we share our talents, and make a difference. So today as we gather, as we continue to be fed by this Eucharist and in the journey that we lead, may we deepen our understanding of what it means to be a giving person, what generosity really means. Not just giving so it benefits the one to whom I'm giving, but giving in such a way that it transforms me, transforms my life. And sometimes people say to me, "I don't know if I'm giving enough." I say, "Well, I don't know what enough is either, but I know this. When I give in such a way that it impacts my life, I know I'm getting there." I know I'm getting there. And I think this can invite us to consider that. And of course, as the rector of St. Paul's, how could I not call us to reflect on that in our own lives as we journey forth as a community? Not just to give to St. Paul's to enable us to do what we can do here, but to let it be a way of transforming each of our own lives. And let us then also be called to be a people who go forth to do nothing less than change the world. Transform the world, to bring about justice, to bring about a way that people have opportunity and chances in their lives. So let us be fed this day and reflect upon these readings, this gospel reading as I invite you to today, and see how we feel called to deepen the journey that we walk here together.